Be back with you today under these circumstances. And great job, Cameron. Worship team, as always, leading us to worship the Lord. I've been very proud and excited and blessed to hear about all the good things that have happened in my absence, and the strength of the church, and the preaching of Pastor Mark and his leadership here. And it's just been such an encouragement to us to know how God's continued to work here in the past 4 months. And so we're looking forward to possibly coming back and joining you and being a part of that. I have not changed so much that I use a computer when I preach, but I didn't have a chance to get this printed off before service today, so don't let that be a distraction to you. You can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, and as you make your way to Exodus chapter 17, let me remind you of something this morning. Let me get us started here. What's happening in this place today is not about you and me. What's happening here today is not about me and a church in Mississippi. What's happening here today is about you and God. And what's happening here today is about me and God. All that is transpiring over the last several months has to do more with how we respond to God's providential hand in our lives than it does anything else. And so for these few moments, don't think about the vote coming up. For these few moments, God wants to speak to us through His Word. We don't know how many moments we have left, and so we cherish this time in God's Word for these next few moments, and we focus on what it is He is trying to say to us. Today's message is entitled, Unexpected Circumstances and Unusual Blessings. Unexpected circumstances and unusual blessings. The Bible says in Exodus 17:7, "So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not?" Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray at this very moment that you would speak to our hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this message is intended to cause us to think about how God works, and in particular, how God works in our lives. Now, it would be nice if we were given a list of things that we could check off, and we could go to that list, and we could find how God works on that list, and nothing else would surprise us, or if we had some kind of map that we could go by. But we are simply not allowed to pigeonhole God, the God of the universe, in such a way. It is impossible for us to limit Him in the way that He works. It is impossible for us to create paradigms and force Him to work within those boundaries. It's absolutely true that we can know Him personally, and we can know a lot about the way He works, but it is just as true that His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. So the Bible says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Remember this. There is a healthy tension between what we know about God and how He works and what we don't know. Now think with me a moment about the title of this message, Unexpected Circumstances. If our circumstances are unexpected, then things have not gone exactly as we had planned. Unusual blessings. The word unusual speaks to the idea of the extraordinary or the out of ordinary. You see, part of the difficulty with our understanding comes from our expectations. We expect God to work. As believers, we expect God to work in our lives, in our churches, in our communities. We expect God to work, but often we expect Him to work in ordinary ways. Well, you say, not really. We think He's a supernatural God. Let me rephrase that then. We expect Him to work in ways that we have become accustomed to. And when He doesn't conform to our thought patterns and He doesn't conform to our ways, all is not right in our universe. All is not right with us at that particular time, and we assume that the unexpected circumstances and the extraordinary activity or the out-of-ordinary activity means that something is not right. But here's the thought I want to challenge you with this morning. What if unexpected circumstances and unusual blessings, from heaven's perspective, means that everything is right? Because you see, when you read your Bible, you will find these circumstances over and over again. You'll find this pattern of unexpected circumstances in people's lives and unusual blessings on the part of God. Now, we see this in our story in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 17. The story of Exodus is the story of God delivering His people out from under the cruel hand of Pharaoh in Egypt. While they are there, God raises up a leader, a man named Moses, who had been born during a time when babies were being executed by the Egyptian authorities. But Pharaoh's daughter rescues this young boy, raises him in the king's palace, and he becomes a very prominent figure there, and he is in the king's palace, and all of a sudden, God begins to work in his life, and he discovers, I'm giving you the short version, he discovers his place among the Hebrew people. His heart begins to turn towards those people that are his, and God quickly makes him the leader among the Hebrew people, and he eventually leads them out of bondage to the edge of the promised land, to the edge of Canaan. From chapter 1 to chapter 17 of Exodus, God divinely protects His people. God provides for His people in miraculous ways. He feeds them from heaven above. He nurtures them and He guides them and He directs them towards the promised land. This is important. This is an important backdrop for us. From chapter 1 to chapter 17, here's what we see. God hears the cries of His people, and He responds to the cries of His people by raising up a leader named Moses who will confront Pharaoh and challenge him about letting His people go. And from chapter 1 to chapter 17, we see God continue to work on their behalf. He sent 10 plagues, remember, so that Pharaoh would eventually let them go. The miraculous hand of God brings judgment upon the land of Egypt. Water is turned to blood. There's a plague of frogs and lice and flies, diseased livestock. Boils come upon their bodies. The hail falls from heaven. Locust devours the crops. The death of the firstborn child is the last of the plagues. And Egypt is in mourning at this time. And the children of Israel get to leave and begin to make their way towards the promised land. He provides a pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night. He parted the Red Sea for them to walk on dry land, and then destroyed the enemies that were following after them. He provided water for them to drink, bread from heaven, and even quail to eat. Now, this is the context in which we hear them ask the question, is God among us or not? Now, when we hear that, it doesn't make any sense to us, because they have evidently seen God's hand at work. And it's a question that just baffles us. How can you see the 10 plagues come upon Egypt? How can you see the parting of the Red Sea and the destruction of our enemy and still ask, is God among us or not? You have to understand the context to understand the question. To understand the question, we have to look at the verses that are surrounding this particular question. The reality is, they knew the Lord was with them. That they knew the Lord was with them. So why'd they ask the question? They asked the question because they were upset that God had not worked in the way that they wanted Him to work. The question reveals the nature of their heart. They were ungrateful for what He had done in the past, and they were presumptuous towards God as if He should have worked for them on command. They exhibited the spirit that challenges God and challenges God's faithfulness. And here's the bottom line. This is what the Scripture tells us. They were tempting the Lord. He had not worked among them in the way that they had expected. This is a very sad chapter in the lives of the children of Israel. The question they asked was straight from their hearts. They were in a place where they needed God more than they ever had. And instead of relying on Him, they began to murmur and they began to complain and they began to question their leader and ultimately question God's faithfulness. Now there's some great principles here that I want to share with you that convey this idea of unexpected circumstances and unusual blessings. The first thing I want you to see from the text here is that we should be aware that God ordains our circumstances. God ordains our circumstances. Look at chapter 17 and verse 1. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. This is a really interesting passage. You see that they left under the commandment of the Lord. They set out on their journey according to the commandment of the Lord. So God has orchestrated their journey. He's ordained their circumstances. I'm going to tell you, if I'm with this group, I don't like the circumstances, because when they get to this place to camp, there's no water to drink. Why in the world would God lead hundreds of thousands of people to a place in the desert and cause them to camp there where there was no water? It was so that they would depend on Him. He brought them to their place of dependence. He brought them to their place of need. He brought them to the place of His presence. God does this oftentimes with us. He ordains our circumstances, and often those circumstances are bewildering to us. They were bewildering to the children of Israel, no doubt. But the Bible speaks of why God brings these kinds of circumstances into our lives. James chapter 1 tells us in verses 2 and 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You see, there is a purpose behind everything that God does. And we might not understand the why, and we might not understand the how, but we understand the who, and we understand the what. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, the who is God, and the what are circumstances that lead to our sanctification, to our spiritual growth, to our being made more like Jesus. It was the who and the what the children of Israel were questioning. Because they did not trust in the who, God, and the what he might be doing in their lives, they begin to murmur and complain, and ultimately look for someone else to blame. In this instance, they blame Moses and Aaron. They begin to quarrel with their leaders, and at the same time, God's plan, listen carefully, at the same time, God's plan was for them to experience this particular place and these particular circumstances on their journey. And it was very possible for them to miss what God was doing because they didn't recognize His hand at work. This crisis of circumstance, the trial, was not brought on by man, it was brought on by God. God ordains our circumstances. Unfortunately, the children of Israel failed to see it as a test of their faith. I want you to hear this morning. God brings us into situations of trial, not so that we might test Him, but so that He might test us. You see, it was at this point that the children of Israel began to rebel and test God. Okay, God, here we are in a place with no water, out in the middle of the desert, hundreds of thousands of people. What you gonna do? Right? This was not a test of God's faithfulness. This was a test of their faithfulness, but they didn't see it that way at the time. Whatever you're going through today, whatever your circumstances may be, it is not an opportunity for God to prove Himself to you. It is an opportunity for you to prove yourself to Him. It is an opportunity for you to continue to demonstrate faithfulness in the midst of those circumstances and continue to allow Him to help you grow into the person that God wants you to be. Be aware that God ordains our circumstances. Now, here's a caveat to that. When we sin against God and we do things that are wrong, they have consequences. And those consequences we often have to deal with. God did not make you sin, but the consequences of your sin are real, and there's only one thing to do at that moment. And so we're not saying that God ordains that activity in your life. You made some choices. There's only one thing to do, and that's confess your sin to God, repent of your sin, and let Him put you back on the right path. However, if you are seeking to follow the Lord, if you are trying to walk with God daily, you're doing all that you know how to be close to God, then Proverbs 16:9 speaks to us. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Just know that God ordains our circumstances, and there is a reason for it. Secondly, know where your help comes from. Know where your help comes from. Verses 2 and 3, therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Know where your help comes from. If you'll just look directly at these verses, you'll see that the children of Israel were going to the wrong place for help. They asked Moses for something he could not do. Moses, give us water. They were expecting a miracle from Moses. Moses couldn't perform a miracle. Only God performs miracles. And so they are asking something of Moses. They're blaming him for his needs, for their needs going unmet, for something, listen, something that obviously falls into the category of God's divine providence and something that had previously He had shown Himself faithful to. They were looking to the wrong source for help. Here's what the Bible says. Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. This life, this journey that we call life, is ultimately not about what we do. It's not even about what we do for God. This journey that we call life is not about what we are capable of achieving in this lifetime. This journey that we call life is about who we become in Christ. It's about life transformation by the power of the Spirit of God. And listen carefully, this often occurs through God-ordained circumstances that require us to look to Him for our help. That's where He puts us. That's where He continues to want us to be, looking unto Him for our help. So I would say in that, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss what? Don't miss what God's saying to you. Don't miss what God's doing in your life, in your family, in your friends. Don't miss what God's doing on the job site. Those God-ordained circumstances that have brought you to the place of need and dependence where you are looking to Him for help, what is He going to do? How's He going to bring us through? You see, we're quick to look elsewhere for help. Oh, no. I always look to God for help. Really? We're quick to look elsewhere for help. We desperately search for answers in all the wrong places. How do I know? We think doctors heal us. We think government protects us. We think the busier we are, the more spiritual we are. We think friends comfort us. We think the spiritual life is about what we do for God and not what He does in us and through us. We look to other places for the help that we need. Whatever circumstances you find yourself in today, look to God for your help. And then thirdly, trust that God is good all the time. Trust that God is good all the time. There in verse 4, it says, "So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with you, you struck the river with, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock on Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." Here we have a few verses in the context of this story that remind us that God is good all the time. There is never a time that God is not good. The Bible says there is no darkness in Him at all. So as they begin to complain and murmur, and they look to the wrong place for the help that is needed, and they begin to test God, they presume upon God, God does not repay evil for evil. Though their sin will not go unnoticed, you know what God does in His loving kindness? There in the desert with hundreds of thousands of people, He gives them water to drink. You know why? Because He's good. He's loving. And He is kind. Interestingly enough, this place where they are is going to be given a name. We read it earlier. Massa and Meribah. Massa means quarrel. Meribah means provocation. They were provoking the Lord. In Deuteronomy, this place is referred to when Jesus is tempted in the wilderness. He harkens back to Deuteronomy, which harkens back to Exodus. And He tells Satan, if you'll remember, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God. But even though this place is named Massa and Meribah, God still shows his loving kindness. God, and guess what? It's in a very unusual way. Would you not say? He tells Moses to strike the rock, and water comes out of the rock. And so they are in unexpected circumstances, and they experience unusual blessing. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13 that even if we are faithless, he is faithful. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. That's who he is. And so, let's put all this together for a moment and wrap this up. As we walk with the Lord, we can be aware that our circumstances are ordained by God. If we find ourselves suffering under the consequences of our sins, then we need to ask God for forgiveness and repent of our sins. Let him put us back on the right course. And as we walk with the Lord, we can assume, based on the authority of the Word of God, that he's orchestrating things far beyond our understanding. As we walk with the Lord, our circumstances are ordained. He plans our steps. He directs our path, the Bible says. And when trials come, it is not so we can sit back and say, okay, God, what are you going to do now? It's not for us to sit back and say, okay, God, now it's time for you to show me how faithful you are. He's going to do that. But we're not to tempt him in that way. Those circumstances or trials come to us for our own good, so that we might be made more like him, for our sanctification. And when trials do come and our faith is put to the test, we need to make sure that we're looking to God for the answers. That we look to the true source who gives us the help that we need. I want you to know this morning that God is enough. God is enough. If we are saved and we understand that this life is very brief, and there's much more to come in the next life, we have to come to that point of realizing that God is enough. Let me close with one more verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. You know what he's referring to? The rock in the wilderness that was struck by Moses. Let me read it to you again. "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them in the wilderness, and that rock was Christ. Just as the rock was struck in the wilderness and life-flowing water came out of the rock, so the Son of God was smitten." He was struck, he was bruised for our iniquities, and life-flowing blood came out of his body, which made eternal life possible. See how the Old Testament goes with the New Testament? As we think about our own lives, and I hadn't forgotten you, and I know a lot of your stories, and I know how God is working in your lives. This passage should be encouraging it to us to know that God brings us to certain places for certain reasons. And those reasons are for our good and for His glory. And for us to be reminded this morning that God is good all the time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us to be able to understand that you bring us to certain places at certain times in our lives in order that we might just completely trust and depend upon you and know that you are enough. God, help us to be reminded that when we are in the midst of a trial, there's no question about whether or not you're going to be faithful. The only question is whether or not we will. And so, Lord, as we come confessing that we don't always know the why and the how, we also rejoice in the fact that we know the who and the what. We thank you, Lord, for your guidance and your protection. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would find us faithful on this journey. We pray it in Jesus' name.